Morning, everybody. I love our 10:30 service. What if we had a 9 o'clock morning? Wouldn't it be brutal this morning? I love 10:30. Great time for a service. Hey, would you stand with me? We're going to read the Word of the Living God this morning in the 10th chapter of Daniel. God bless you. Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. Says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who is called Belteshazzar, in Babylonian language. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. Remember that, a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food or meat or wine touched my lips. I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. And on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris River, I looked up and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches. His arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. Now I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. Our Father in heaven, Lord, as we gather before you this morning, we come in the name of your Son, Jesus. On this morning, God, we've left homes to come to this house of God, to meet with God here in the assembly of believers amongst our family, our church family. Lord, we know that you are in this room. We know that you are with us. We know, God, that your eyes are upon us this morning. Lord, we know that your mercies are great this morning. Great is your faithfulness toward us this glorious day. And Lord, we, with our own free will and free choices, choose to come here and serve you today, God, to worship you and to learn from you. We ask, Lord, you send your Spirit upon us this morning. God, help the Scriptures to come alive. We pray, Lord, that your kingdom would be preached and that this would be done not for the glory of man, but for the glory of God and God alone. And all those who love God would say what?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all may be seated. And again, welcome to everybody online. I have to give a special hello to my wife, Cinda. She's sick this morning, so she's watching online. Hi, babe. God bless you, sweetheart. You know, I do want to say, great is your reward in heaven. When you come to church this day and you lost an hour of sleep in the rain, and you're here and you're not watching it at line, all those of you that are watching online this morning, you're drinking a cup of coffee in your living room. We really miss you here, but the grace of God prevails. Do we hear an amen?
Amen.
Hey, let everybody say, we miss you this morning.
We miss you.
See, you had no idea, did you? Good morning, everybody. We're so glad you're here this morning. We are, fun stuff going on. This learning lab, so you guys know there's a sign up there. I really want to just make this clear that the Woodbridge Community Church is not starting a preschool. And we were pretty adamant that we're not in the business to start preschool. That's not why I went to seminary, to start a preschool. But we're partnering with a preschool that's starting up here of a bunch of brothers in our church that are starting this. This is a Christian preschool in the city of Irvine. And we're going to be partnering with this preschool in helping all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. And so we're excited about the coming of this preschool. There's a 5-year waiting list in Irvine right now for preschools. And so what a wonderful way for us as a church to have kind of a back door. We want to be able to reach people. So we're excited about this coming. But just once again, be clear, Woodbridge Community Church isn't starting a preschool. Woodbridge Community Church didn't start a Messianic Jewish congregation. But we're partnering with Shuva in reaching this city for Christ. But they're separate than us. And I want you to be clear of that. But it's going to be cool. Today there's an open house afterwards. You should go check it out. It'll be a lot of fun. Now, welcome to the fourth week of a series that we've been doing called Visions of the Future. We've been going through the book of Daniel. And we thought this would be so cool to do this heading into Easter. The book of Daniel, Jesus quotes Daniel. Jesus read every word of Daniel in Hebrew as a little boy. Jesus studied the book of Daniel, and Jesus quoted Daniel as prophetic fulfillment in his ministry. Daniel's a powerful book, and we thought it'd be really cool just to cruise in and do the second half of the book of Daniel before Easter. And so last week, my brother Mike gave... Dude, the ninth chapter of Daniel is legendary. The prayer in the ninth chapter of Daniel is legendary. When the prophet Daniel prays just that beautiful prayer, it's so glorious. And as he was praying that, he knew that the 70 years had come for the captives of the Jewish people in Babylon get to go back. It says in Jeremiah. So Daniel was doing his quiet times, and he just had this beautiful prayer. And what's so cool about the ninth chapter of Daniel is it ends with God just not giving him revelations of the 70 years of captivity, but God starts giving him time units of 70 times 7 of the coming of Messiah and the Messiah being cut off. God just gives him an overdose of data of what was happening coming up to Christ. The ninth chapter of Daniel is legendary. Well, this morning we get to do another amazing chapter. The 10th chapter of Daniel is legendary. It's legendary. It's interesting, when you read the book of Daniel, it's about God speaking to his prophet. The book of Daniel is God speaking to his prophet about data and information. And all through the book of Daniel, God is using angels as messengers of giving his message to Daniel. And there's 12 chapters in the book of Daniel. 11 of those chapters is prophetic and messaging. This chapter moves away from the message and starts focusing on the messenger. And it is an amazing chapter. It's legendary. The 10th chapter of Daniel. So this is what's happening today. I get to teach the 10th chapter of Daniel to you this morning. Next week, we're going to do 11 and 12. We're going to wrap up our series in Daniel next week. And next week, when you guys gather here, we will be landing in Israel. So we fly out on Saturday, and we'll be landing Sunday morning. So a week from now, I will be in Israel with 43 people. We're taking on this biblical study tour of the land of Jesus. And so you're going to get to finish off Daniel next week. My brother Mike's going to wrap it up for us. And then the next week, Palm Sunday, Rabbi Feldman from our Messianic Jewish congregation is going to come and speak to you on Palm Sunday. And the sermon of his, the title of his message is Messiah on a Donkey, Palm Sunday Road. On Sunday, we will be coming from Jericho up to Jerusalem. And we as a group will be coming up to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Pretty cool, right? Then next week, we're going to be doing two great Good Friday services. I'll be back on that Thursday. We'll be here for the Good Friday, then I'll be back for Easter Sunday, and that's what we got going on. Does that sound like fun? Are we ready to go with that? Is that pretty cool? Pretty fun. It's going to be good. So, that's where we're heading. That's where we're moving. Have you ever met an angel? I'm not talking about a cute girl or a really awesome guy. I'm asking the question, have you ever met an angel? It says in the scriptures that there are times when we might possibly entertain angels without even knowing it. And Hebrews 13:2 says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, right? By so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels, and you didn't even know it. Have you ever met an angel? People, what are angels? Why do they exist, and what's their job description? Again, all through the book of Daniel, it's the message. And yet this one chapter, it gives us just an insight into the messenger himself and angels. And so when you read through the book of Daniel, you read about angels, and actually the book of Daniel gives the name of two of these angels. Do you guys know what the name of two of these angels are? There's an angel named Gabriel, and there's an angel named Michael. And we find them here in the book of Daniel. But there are 10,000s times 10,000s of angels. There's just myriads of angelic beings. We know the name of two. What's so cool about the 10th chapter of Daniel is it pulls us away almost. This whole chapter has nothing to do with a vision. It's an encounter of Daniel with an angel. And so we get to take a close look at angels this morning. I want you to take notes this morning. If you could, in your worship folder, we've got these notes for you. I encourage you to take these notes out and take notes this morning. Then when you guys are in growth groups this week, sit down and talk about this message. If you're new here at our church, this is what we love to do, is we have 21 small groups that are meeting throughout the week in different people's homes. And what we do is we gather together in homes. We basically take this sermon, we talk about the message. I use the old saying, we stir in the sermon on Sunday. So a group of people get together, discipleship happens in meaningful relationships. And it's so fun just to get together, talk about the message, and then just share and just kind of go a bit deeper. If you're new here this morning and you'd love to talk about this sermon, come up to us afterwards and we'll show you. Hey, there's 21 groups you can pick up from throughout the week. But take notes this morning. Here's some interesting facts on angels. You ready? Angels are mentioned in the Bible. Over half of the Bible mentions angels. FYI. It's not one chapter. It's not one book. Half of the 66 books in the Bible, over half of them, mention angels. And the word angel occurs over 275 times in the Bible. Did you know that? Did you know that? People, angels exist. But what are they? The 10th chapter of Daniel leads us into this topic. Now take notes on this. What are angels? Can I just give you something pretty simple? Angels are other dimensional created beings. Write that down. Angels, they're other dimensional created beings. Colossians 1:16 says this, "For in him," or in Christ, "all things were created," all things were created, "things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." Angels, people, are heavenly invisible beings created by God. They're other dimensional beings, but they at times can cross into our dimension. And that's what's pretty interesting about it. Take notes on this morning. Angels, what are angels? Angels and humans are similar in the creative order. They're unique, just like you are. I like Psalm 8, 4 and 5. It says, "What is mankind that you are mindful of him?" The psalmist is speaking to God saying, what is mankind? Who are we? Creator, creation to creator. Who are we that you're mindful of us? Human beings, that you care for us, right? You have made us, or made them, a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. People, you're made just a little bit lower than the angels, but you're very similar. You and angels have a lot in common. They're like us, and we're like them. Well, how are we? What do we have in common? This is something that you have in common with an angel. You are an eternal being. Angels are eternal beings. Write that down. Jesus speaking about will we be married in heaven? What goes on after we die? And Jesus says this. Jesus replied, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they'll be like angels." Angels can't die. As a matter of fact, you can't die. Your body's going to die, but who you are as a spirit, you will dwell and live forever. You are eternal. Angels are eternal. Very similar in that regard. Check this out. Angels and you have personal identity. Are you you? Answer me. Are you you? You are you. Is there anyone else like you? No, there's only one of you. So you are you, right? Do you have a personal identity? Answer. Angels have personal identity. They know who they are. They have personal identity. Listen to this. I love this verse. In the Gospel of Luke, in the first chapter, John the Baptist's dad goes into the temple. He's part of the Levites, and he's been allowed to go into the temple in Jerusalem to offer holy sacrifice. And as he goes in, our buddy from an angelic being named Gabriel is waiting for him in the temple, okay? And Gabriel starts telling Zechariah, dude, your wife is going to have a baby, and she's, you know, older, and all. But God's making it happen, and he starts. Gabriel's speaking to this priest Zechariah, and now listen to this. Zechariah asks the angel, "How can I be sure of this?" Is that dumb? Well, how do I know what you're telling me is true? That offends Gabriel. I am old. I'm an old man, and my wife is well among in years. And the angel said to him, "How dare you?" The angel says, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day your kid is born, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Did you catch that? That angel has personal identity, just like you. You're you and he is he. Gabriel knows who he is. Listen, write this down. Just like you, angels feel and display emotion. These angelic beings feel and they display emotion. Zechariah, you just insulted me as Gabriel. Do you know who you're talking to? You're not going to speak. These angelic beings are people of personal identity. They have feelings and they have emotions and they have free will. They have free will. Welcome to an amazing thing. In the book of Jude, it says this, "And the angels who do not keep their position of authority, but abandon their proper dwelling, these have been kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day." People, angels had the free will of choice to accept God or to reject God. And the angels that abandoned their proper dwelling and left God are called fallen angels or demons. They had a choice like we do. In the garden, our species had a choice. And we rebelled against God. You are a moral free being with the ability of thought, reason, and choice. And in that, you are made in the image of God. Whatever it is being made in the image of God, the best theological definition I've ever heard is that God is a moral free being with the ability of thought, reason, and choice. And you being made in his image is a moral free being with the ability of thought and reason and choice. And in that, you're made in God's image. Listen to me. Angels are moral free beings as well with the ability of thought and reason and choice. And in that, they are also made in the image of God. They are unique. Your dog is not a moral free being with the ability of thought, reason, and choice made in the image of God. The sunset doesn't look and marvel at you, but you marvel at the sunset because you are special in the creative order. Angels are also the same. FYI. What are angels? People, angels have great power and presence. Pastor Frank, how do you know that angels have a lot of power? Well, you should ask the people of Sodom and Gomorrah if angels have power. The angels that went into Sodom and Gomorrah went into that city, and those people were entertaining angels without knowing it, and they tried to rape these two angels, and the angels smote the whole parts of the city with blindness, and they removed Lot, and they fried the place, Sodom and Gomorrah. You should ask Sodom and Gomorrah if angels are powerful. You should ask the Assyrian Empire if angels are powerful. The Assyrian Empire was invading Israel. And in 2 Kings 19:35, as they were heading from Lachish, it's a great archaeological place. They're heading up to Jerusalem, and they're like, no other God has been able to save anyone from our hands. And your God, Hezekiah, is not going to save you. And you know, Hezekiah takes this letter into the temple and says, God, the Assyrian army's messing with you. And they say, you know, and God says, I'm going to strike that army down. And you read, and it says, God sent an angel of the Lord and slew 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. One angel. Are angels powerful? Ask Jesus. The night before Jesus is being portrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter grabs his sword. I'm going to defend Jesus. And he's a terrible shot. See, the seam of the helmet of a soldier, if you hit the seam, you'd split it, and you could split a guy's skull open. But poor Peter's a fisherman and not a soldier, and as he wields his sword, he glances it and just cuts the dude's ear off, right? So what does Jesus do? Peter, put away your sword, grabs the dude's ear and fixes his ear. He says, don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels right now to defend me? I'd like to see that, wouldn't you? 12 legions of angels? Jesus isn't saying this like I could call kittens. 12 legions of... He's talking about angels. Jesus speaking power here. People, angels are powerful. They also have presence. They have great personal presence. In Judges 13:6, Samson's mother reported that the angel she saw was, quote, very awesome in appearance. But she didn't go into further detail. The angels at Christ's tomb, right? When the women went to the tomb of Jesus, they said they were dressed in clothes that gleamed like lightning. People, to say all that, the 10th chapter of Daniel is the chapter that takes the time to describe for us what a messenger of God really looks like. In the 10th chapter of Daniel, the prophet's in mourning, and we really don't know why. It's interesting, when you read the 10th chapter, it says Daniel's been in mourning for 3 weeks. And they're like, well, why is he mourning? Is he mourning because all the exiles got to go back to Jerusalem and he didn't get to go? Because maybe the king says, no, you can't, I need you here. So Daniel's in mourning because he doesn't get to go back. He was a little boy when he was taken from Jerusalem to the Babylonians and now to the Medo-Persian Empire, and he wants to go home. Is he in mourning because he doesn't get to go? Or is he in mourning because he's heard in Ezra that the temple had been stopped in its construction and his heart was so there? We don't know why he's in mourning, but he's in mourning. And as he's in mourning, he's praying. He's not happy. And on the 24th day of the first month, Daniel 10, 4 through 9, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, because now he's no longer in the Babylonian capital. He's in the Medo-Persia. He's in the Tigris now. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist, and his body was like topaz. His body is glowing with a luminous color. Can you imagine a body glowing with an luminous color? His face like lightning. Has anyone tried to look at lightning lately? Have you ever tried to look at lightning? His face is like lightning. His eyes are like flaming torches. His arms and his legs, like the gleam of burnished bronze. So outside, you know, his body's glowing. And his voice is like a multitude. Would you close your eyes, please, and try to picture this? Can you picture this? There's a being standing before you with a gold belt about his waist. His face is like lightning. His eyes are like flaming torches. His body's glowing. And when he speaks, it's the sound of multitudes. Do you see this being in your mind? Is that impressive? Daniel says, I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed it that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision, and I had no strength. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. And then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. That's called fainting. I'm out. I'm done. No way. Daniel's fainted. Is that presence? Would you call that a powerful presence? See, I think you're a special presence this morning. But as I look around, none of you look like that. None of you are glowing this morning. And your face is it's beautiful faces, but you just don't seem to got the presence of an angel this morning. Nice, you have a wonderful presence. The people, angels, are people of great power and awesome presence. Do I hear an amen? Oh, that's a weak amen. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Would you be impressed if this guy popped in and started talking with you? Would this, seeing this dude, would you faint? Angels are other dimensional created beings. Angels and humans are similar in the creative order. They are eternal beings, just like you. They have personal identity, just like you. They have feeling and emotions, just like you. And they have free will, just like you. Angels have great power, and they have a presence. That's what they are. What's their job description? Why did God make them? Well, you could write this down. What is their job description? Well, how about this? God, they're used by God in answering visions and dreams. The whole book of Daniel, angels show up, and they're the ones that are, they're messengers bringing clarity. They bring a message, and they interpret a message. Angels have the ability of speaking and communicating God's thoughts. That's what they do. That's a part of their job description. Now listen to this. They are used by God to guard and serve his people. Think about that for a moment. Angels are used by God to guard and serve his people. Psalm 91 says this, 9 through 11. If you say the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. Angels are used by God to guard and serve his people. The big question is, what are they guarding me from? What is an angel guarding you from? If there's an angel that's watching over your life, guarding you, from what? Probably spiritual forces. In another dimension, you're known is a child of God, and they're coming. It's probable that these angelic warriors guard the people of God. Satan comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, and angels protect us in the spiritual realm. Remember this? Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation?" So they're ministering spirits. They minister to you and I. And then that verse we started with, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." Have you ever met an angel? I remember when I was in seminary, one of my favorite professors was named Dr. Wilkins, and he taught New Testament lit. Awesome professor, just loved the bro so much. And I remember Wilkins, and as we were talking about angels one day, he says, "I want to share with you something." He says, "When Lynn and I first got married, we had a VW bus, and we were driving across the country. We're out in the middle of nowhere in the desert, and my fan belt broke on my car, and it was hot. And we pulled the car over, and I got out, and I lifted up the back, and I'm looking at the fan belt's gone, and we're all alone in the middle of nowhere." He says, "And as I'm looking at this, a car pulls up. And this guy gets out, grabs a fan belt, smiles at me, tosses it to me, and says, 'God bless you.' Got in his car and drove off." And Dr. Wilkins says, "You can say all you want to. I know for a fact that that was an angel. The way the dude looked at me, he had this smile on his face, like he just said he couldn't figure it out." Have you ever met an angel? You know, when I was a kid, going to college, I love this 320 that we're doing. This is a wonderful ministry of just loving up on these kids in the Philippines, and you can support them. It's awesome. As a young man, I remember my first one was Compassion International. It was $24 a month, and I remember, I'm going to take care of this kid as a college student, and I had his picture on my refrigerator, and it's really cool. And I remember going, "Dude, I'm short of money. I'm a valet kid parking." And I'm like, "Where am I going to get money, Lord? I've got to figure out how to pull this off." And I just was, "I'm going to stay with my commitment, and I'm a little short." And I remember this, I'm valet parking down at this place called Margaritaville, and it's no longer there, down in Newport. And this dude pulls up in this piece of junk car, and he gets out of the car, and I'm like, "Okay." And I park the car for the guy, and as soon as I park it, he comes out and he hands me his ticket, and I pull out, and the guy smiles at me, and he tips me $24. And he had that stupid look on his face, like, I think it's that look on his face that Wilkins has tried to describe. And he got in the car and drove away, and I was sitting there going, I think that was an angel. Have you ever met an angel? I wish I could go to all 21 growth groups this week and have you guys share stories. They are real, and they are here. And their job is to guard you and to minister to you. They're here. They're angelic beings. And they are other dimensional beings that'll cross into your dimension and you won't even know it. And then they'll cross out. But they are here. I believe someday when you go to heaven, I'm going to see that dude that drove that stinky car gleaming and glowing, and I'm going to feel like, "Dang, I knew it was you. Yeah, man, I was the guy watching over you. And I know you're a little short." It's like, "Well, where were you when I..." No, I'm kidding. "When I need to pay the rest of my college tuition." They're here. They're angels. They exist. What's their job description? Well, their job description is to help us with visions and dreams. They're here to guard and to serve us. And you know that they're used by God in transportation ministry. They are used by God to transport his people to heaven. In Luke 16:22, Jesus was saying, The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. There's something about angelic beings having a ministry of transporting us at the moment we die into the presence of God. And there is so many stories. Pastor Graham, we were just talking about this message this last Thursday in our sermon prep time. And Pastor Graham was sharing the story that he gave a few months ago when he spoke on Lazarus. And he was sharing that his uncle, as his uncle was dying, he looked up and said, "They have come for me." And then he slumped over and he passed away. There's so many stories of people on these death experiences saying they. And there's been a lot more of them nowadays where with more, all the stuff, we're knocking people out so much that these experiences don't happen as much because they're comatose per se, which, by the way, I think that's great. Knock me out. Let me wake up in heaven. But there's so many examples of people saying at that moment of death, they're here. They've come for me. Jesus would say that these angels, part of their job description is to transport us to heaven. And this one's, I think, awesome. What's the job description of angels? Write this down. They're used by God as heavenly soldiers. They're heavenly soldiers. So Daniel's passed out, right? In Daniel 10:12, it says, "Then he continued, 'Do not be afraid, Daniel.' The angel touches him, revives him. And says, 'Don't be afraid, Daniel. Dude, don't pass out on me again,'" right? He says, "'Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to them,'" because that's my job description, to come to you with dreams and visions, right? "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. A demonic angel intercepts this angel, and they're in heavenly combat for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes," so this is an angel that's got more power than me, a higher rank than me, "Michael, one of the chief princes came to help me." That's called heavenly reinforcements. A more powerful angel came. There's a brawl going on in another realm between angelic beings. "Then Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia, a demonic principality over a geographical region." Go figure that out. He says, "Now I have come to you to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." So he's saying that what's happening will be in the future, right? To the Jewish people, your people. "While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless," right? "Then the one who looked like a man touched my lips and opened my mouth and began to speak. And I said to the one standing before me, 'I'm overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord?'" How can I even talk with you, right? "My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe." So that's called presence, by the way, right? "I can hardly breathe in your presence. You're blowing me away." This is a weak angel. Again, the one who looked like a man, so he has the appearance of like us. "Touched me and gave me strength. 'Do not be afraid. You are highly esteemed,' he said. 'Peace, be strong now. Be strong.'" He's trying to prop him up. "When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, 'Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength.' And so he said, 'Do you not know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece is coming. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them.'" This angel saying, dude, no one's supporting me against this battle I'm in except Michael. Is he complaining? That's an amazing chapter, people. Daniel had three visions, and we've covered the first two. Daniel 10, 11, and 12 is his third vision. But I'm so thankful for this 10th chapter because God just gives us a little insight into the messenger and into this realm that's a mysterious realm. It's called the famous chapter on angelology. So if you're in seminary, it's the angelology chapter. It's famous. In this chapter, the veil of the spiritual world is partially pulled aside, and we get to look into the unseen world of another dimension. This chapter introduces us to the order of angels, both good and bad, fallen and holy, and a great war, as Daniel puts it. Daniel said, there's a great war in heaven. That's how the chapter begins. A war in another realm. The kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of light. And it spills over into our realm. I mean, people, look at your Bible. Genesis, the first book in the Bible. Satan's there. The kingdom of darkness is there. The last book of the Bible. Satan is there. The kingdom of darkness is there. And all in between, they're there. This war. It's in another realm and it spills over into this realm. We have no way how bodiless spirits, heavenly or hellish, fight one another or what weapons they use. How do they fight? What weapons do they use? You know, when I was a kid at Biola University, back in the 80s, did anybody in here ever read the book, This Present Darkness, by Frank Peretti? Do you know Frank Peretti is a millionaire today because of the 10th chapter of Daniel? Frank Peretti was a Christian writer that loved the 10th chapter of Daniel, and he wrote two books called This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness, and in it, he created angels fighting demons in other dimensions and crossing over into this world and back and forth. And I remember Tal was the name of one angel and Guido was the name of another angel. And they would describe these demons or fallen angels and you'd be like, no way. And these guys are using swords and they're going at it. And this book cost me grades at Biola because I was so taken with this book. And it was finals week, and I found myself going, I can't stop, and I had to keep reading this sucker, and I got badder. Well, my grades weren't as good as they could have been. Don't tell my dad. This book was awesome. It was all taken out of tension. Is it good theology? No, not really, but it was great. Really good book. I dare you to grab the book, read the first 25 pages, and then I dare you to stop. This Present Darkness, angels and demons fighting. It was so cool, but we don't know. How do bodiless spirits fight, and what weapons do they use? We don't know. But the Bible does tell us that they're organized into various provinces or regions, and isn't it encouraging for you and I in this room to know that God has mighty champions among us to defend us against the attack of the evil one? Don't you feel comforted by that? You know, people, someday, I think when God hits rewind and plays your life, you're going to see how often and so often God has watched over you and protected you, and you had no idea of what he's been guarding you from and protecting you from. If you think an angel is impressive, how about a fallen angel? That'll scare the spit out of your mouth, dry you out quick. You want to see a heavenly demon that, you know? You know, Jesus spoke of this in the high priestly, when Jesus says, pray in this way, you know, deliver us from the evil ones, a part of that prayer. Jesus, the night before he died, he said, Father, protect them from the evil one and sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Protect them from the evil one. Interesting. Interesting. People, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Well, if our battle isn't against flesh and blood, then what is our battle against? Principalities and powers in the heavenly realms. You, as God's children, have entered into a heavenly conflict that's been going on long before you existed and will probably go on long after you've left this earth. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, against the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places. That is Ephesians 6. Now, let me close with this. I think this is the most coolest passage. 1 Peter 10 says this. Concerning this salvation, your salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest of care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of the Messiah, or Christ, in them was pointing to when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. The prophets would go, I need to search deeply, trying to figure this out, like Daniel. He's talking about Daniel. He's talking about Isaiah. He's talking about Ezekiel. Concerning this salvation that you people have, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come in Christ searched intently. These poor guys writing 500 years before Jesus was born, they're writing this stuff going, how can this be? They searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in this room in the 21st century. And all those, the saints of today, they're not serving them, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, listen to this, even angels long to look into these things. Underline that in your Bible. The salvation that God has given you, you made in his image, you, moral free agents with the ability of thought and reason and choice, you, God sends his Son to die on a cross for you. God sends his Son to take all your shame and guilt and sin before a holy God, and Jesus takes it all upon himself. Jesus pays your debt so you can be with God forever. This salvation, the angels look at this and they're blown away. Why? Because the Son of God didn't come and die for fallen angels. Why? Theology 3, Soci's class, Talbot Seminary. We would begin talking about, and I remember Dr. Soci saying, angels, when God creates the myriad of angels, they beheld him in his fullest of glory and had absolute, complete, total understanding of God and his absolute, complete goodness. And even in that, angel rebels against God and takes a third of the angels with him. And FYI, if a third rebelled, we got more numbers with us because two-thirds didn't, right? These angels are fallen angels. They're rebellious angels. They've left their abode, as it says in Jude. These angels are damned. Damned. No hope of salvation. They're damned. God creates another being made in his image, moral free beings, ability of thought, reason, and choice. He makes human beings, creates a dimension that we live in, our three-dimensional world. God creates Adam, puts him here. God creates Eve, puts him here. And Adam and Eve are duped by this angel, deceived by this angel, and they fall. And at the moment of human falling, God says, I will bring out of the seed of woman one that will destroy this fallen angel and redeem my people. It's the first prophecy of a Messiah coming, a Savior coming. From the seed of woman, virgin birth, Jesus comes and is born of a woman, of a miracle birth. It's prophetic. God comes to redeem humans, and angels long to look. Angels are up in heaven going, you're kidding me. The Son of God is going to become a man and dwell amongst them? Are you kidding me? Remember when Jesus was born, the angels. Peace on earth and goodwill to men. This is a great day. God has come into your realm to dwell amongst human beings. God has come to live in your presence. The fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form in Jesus. And here he is. And the angels are like, no way. I can't believe that the angels long to look at what God is doing in redeeming you. You. Why? Why are you so valuable to God? Say, why? He loves you. The created being loves you. God knows you by name. He loves you. Do you know the Bible says he holds you close to his heart? God is for you. He's not against you. It's the grace of God. Grace means unmerited favor. You don't deserve Jesus. Any of you that says, well, I'm a great person, Jesus, you don't deserve the blood of Christ. You stink blob, you know, what are you thinking? It's by God's grace and mercy that you get Jesus. And this salvation that you have, people, is glorious. It's special. Angels don't have what you have. Have you said yes to Jesus? How many people in here have absolutely said yes to the cross of Christ? And you've said, Jesus, I accept all the sins in my life, past, present, and future. I say yes to you, Jesus, and what you did on that cross. And man, I want that on my life. Wash me, Lord, in your blood. Take away my sin. Make me with robes of right. If you've done that, angels long to look into what's been given unto you because it wasn't given unto them. Isn't that cool? Do you know that we live in a very special age? As we close, we live in a very special age in prophecy. It's called the church age, or the age of grace. The Apostle Paul calls it the mystery. The Apostle Paul reads the book of Daniel, and he's like, nowhere in the book of Daniel does it speak of the church. It's supposed to be the Messiah comes, deals with sin, and then kingdom. And we've got the Messiah comes, deals with sin, and now there's this age of grace, the church age. And Paul calls it the mystery of the administration of the mystery. Who would have thunk? And we live in this age where God is calling all people to his son. Jesus says, go to the highways and the byways. All that come unto my son can be saved. But this age is for a time. For a time. At some moment, this age of grace will end. And it goes right back, Daniel, this prophecy is for your people, and it'll go back to the Jewish people, and the last week of the book of Daniel will unfold, of Daniel 9, the seven years of the tribulation and the great tribulation when God's like, he's coming. People, God likes sevens. Do you know May of this year is the 70th anniversary of the rebirth of the nation of Israel? Is Jesus coming back this year? If he was, would you be ready? He's sovereign. It's interesting. Why is God allowing these angels to fight in the heavenly realms? Well, God in his sovereign will lets these angels have their moral... Why does God allow this stuff happening in this realm? He's sovereign here too. And he allows human beings today to blow him off and do horrible things and murder one another. God just... gives us this freedom of will to a point. He's awesome. That's all I got to say. I like the 10th chapter of Daniel. It's a classic. There's angels watching over you. What God has given you, angels long to... they just are blown away by how God has shown his love and grace and mercy toward you. They long to look in the salvation that you enjoy today. You're special. You're special. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, and there's a wonderful song called the Desert Song. And the Desert Song is this song about in the midst of battle, you just trust with God. You stay tight with God. and you hold on to the end with God. And we thought this would be a great song to end this chapter with. It's called the Desert Song. I think Daniel could sing this song. So enjoy this song. Check this out.